Everybody to the Wine Vault. Tonight we have a very exceptional episode. I am Rob the Wine Guy, and I am joined by a very animated Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver. Say hello.
I can't. There's all this Spanish music going. It's Latin. Just flowing through my blood. Hello, folks.
See, folks, we're listening to Latin jazz on CD, Dish CD. This is Tito Puente and his orchestra. Cha. Con Cha.
And it is filling my veins with motion.
The album is Mucho Cha Cha.
Which, speaking of that, funny thing.
What?
We're doing something that could be said to be Spanish influence.
Why?
Not really.
No, it's French influence. But anyway, tonight,
Chilean.
The focus of the episode will be on Los Vascos, their Cabernet from 2015. It's an estate-grown Chilean Cabernet. Now, the one thing that's interesting about Los Vascos is they are owned by Baron de Rothschild. So Lafitte Rothschild. That is a esteemed ultra high-end Bordeaux producer. The creme de la creme. They're up there with Petrus and Lepine, and although they're originals. The Petrus and Lepine are Johnny Come Latelys. Lafitte Rothschild is the granddaddy of wine. That's it. And this is a inexpensive value priced Chilean venture that they have undertaken.
$9.
So that, just because of their pedigree, tells you that they aren't going to let something that go out that tastes like Pepperwood Grove. They're going to put out something else that tastes like a peppermint patty, perhaps. We don't know. But regardless, we're going to find out here on the Wine Vault. And beyond that, we have an excellent potpourri section.
Excellent.
We're going to follow along on previous episodes and talk a little bit more about Chain Wine's wine list. So, when we come back, we are going to start off our illustrious review of the Los Vascos. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. Folks, we here on the Wine Vault are an open opportunity podcast. We would love for you to be a guest in the Wine Vault. Scott, tell them how to do it.
Contact us at thewinevault@outlook.com. Send us a message on the Facebook at thewinevault.rs. Twitter, contact us at @winevaultpodcast. I'm at the O. We're on the Twitter, folks. We're on the Facebook. Contact us at our website.
Folks, you get a hold of us, we'll get a hold of you. We'll bring you on. Hey, who knows? You might even meet superstar Steve Gibson. Who can say?
God, don't make promises you can't keep.
Well, give Steve a fiver. He'll show up. Anyway, folks, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to see you. We'd love to meet you on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. I was remiss in my initial introduction. I forgot to tell you that the superstar Steve Gibson is not with us tonight. He is off
gallivanting.
Yeah, he's a gallivanter, isn't he? And
I'm not sure what that means.
He's a lot of turs. There's a lot of words that you can put on there.
Turs.
A lot of turs. Blank turs. It's like Mad Libs. Yeah, folks at home, do that for yourself to say what is the superstar tonight. He is a blank tur.
Raconteur.
Other things. Yes. Just go on. Just let your imagination run wild. Matter of fact, email us your ideas as to what the superstar is.
Oh, please.
At winevault@outlook.com or post it on Facebook, because that would be fantastic.
That would be really fantastic.
We would love that. We will not delete that. Thewinevault.rs. Please post what kind of tur Blank-ter. You think the
superstar is.
Yes. Yes. So, more importantly, folks, the 2015 Los Vascos. You can't tell that we do more than one episode a night, can you, folks? The 2015 Los Vascos Cabernet. You know, made by Lafitte Rothschild, as we said, Bordeaux, esteemed Bordeaux producer. Matter of fact, there is nothing more. They're the top of the list. But the Chilean wines, could they do something in Chile that other wineries just can't do properly? What we worry about with the Chilean wine, especially a value-priced Chilean wine, is that it's going to be green pepper and shit. If it's anything beyond that, it's something that's quite special, especially at the price point that we're talking about. Scott, where'd you find this?
At the Giant Eagle Market District in Grandview.
So Giant Eagle, and you paid around $9.
$9.
$8.99. Definitely a value-priced wine.
On wine.com, it's a little discussion here about the Los Vascos winery.
Mm-hmm.
Its roots trace back to 1750, to the original vineyard of Miguel Echenique. Uh-huh. The vineyard passed down through the family through the succeeding centuries.
Vineyard.
The acquisition of 50% of Los Vascos by Rothschild Lafitte in 1988 was a result of a careful search among more than 100 Chilean wines for one that could meet their criteria of excellence. Team of winemakers from Rothschild's control of viticulture, harvest, maceration, they control the making of the wine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they may only own 50%. They're controlling the production. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of excited about this.
And a few facts, folks, about this wine. It's from the Cochaguga Valley.
Oh, my God.
I can't pronounce it. I'll let the unlicensed look at that. But it is 100% Cabernet. It's estate-grown and bottled, which means everything's grown on-premises. They own the vineyards in which it's grown, and they bottle on-premises. So they're not outsourcing for wine. Winemaker's note, a balanced and elegant wine bursting with black cherry, raspberry, and strawberry flavors. Enjoy with your favorite barbecue and grilled meats or on its own. Few concerning things. The winemakers note the raspberry and strawberry flavors. Those are two things that we're not necessarily looking for in a Cabernet. Perhaps a Zinfandel, but not a Cabernet. So my concern might be that you have an underripe wine when you're giving those kind of tasting notes. But nevertheless, Scott, do you have a proper pronunciation of the...
Cochagua, an inland district creating amazing red wines from Syrah and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, so Cochagua sounds
particularly right. In the Apalta subregion and Rapel Valley.
Folks, we are not Chilean wine experts. We are wine aficionados. However, Chilean wine experts, if you are out there, please, by all means, shut the fuck up because nobody cares. Jesus, you're Chilean wine experts, for Christ's sake. But nevertheless, and if you know a lot about Chilean wines, once again, shut the fuck up because nobody cares. Jesus Christ. Get a life.
It's from Maipo.
Date a girl.
It's from Maipo, one of the main regions of Chilean wine.
Yeah. Date a girl. Yeah, meet somebody. Well, internet pornography? Anything?
Maybe that's not what they're into.
They're into Chilean wines.
Maybe they want to date a guy.
Okay, date a guy.
What's wrong with that?
Well, date a horse.
Date somebody.
Date an elephant. I don't care.
That's the point.
Yeah, do something. Don't like Chilean wines. Anyway, so the Los Vascos, we're looking at this.
You know, you're going to look like an idiot when we like this wine.
You know what? I look like an idiot 95% of the time anyway.
What? Self-recognition.
No.
You've recognized the problem. Now do something about it.
No, it's called being an informed person. Looking at this, though, it is somewhat translucent. A little bit of a garnet hue, and it leans out towards the edges. I mean, look at that. It's not objectionable, but it isn't exceptional by any standard. There is a watery edge. There is some definite cupping.
Yeah.
And we've got, 14% alcohol. So that's a fine amount.
It's nice legs.
Yeah, the legs are pronounced. Yeah, actually, the legs are quite pronounced.
We've had this decanting for more than an hour.
Oh, a good, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours.
There's that little classic cab, little funky nose.
Yeah, but it does have the... You do notice the raspberry and the strawberry. Like they said, on the nose, anyway. It has a zinny nose, actually.
Other than that cabby funkiness.
There's a bit of a funk to it.
There's a little funkiness.
It's subtle. I mean, you have to really think about what you're smelling to notice the funk, but there is a bit of a funk right at the front.
Sometimes I describe that as yeasty, but it's not. That isn't it. It's just funk. It's just a funk, almost like a Pinot funk.
A slight, yes, but very subdued, but then it's overpowered then by the berry.
Is it earthy? Is there an earthiness?
Well, earthy funk. I mean, the funk's got to come from somewhere. It's not Mars funk. It's some kind of funk.
Bring on the noise, bring on the funk.
I wouldn't call it, it's not mushroomy. It's just a funk. It's a general funk.
Yeah.
But it's not barnyardy either.
It's not barnyardy, but maybe a little almost like...
It's not musty.
Almost.
It's just funk. I mean, it's just general earthiness.
And this isn't overly translucent. It's slightly translucent. No. I would say slightly translucent. The appearance in the glass and in the nose, the thing that's most, I don't want to say alarming, but it is definitely has a distinctly watery edge.
It does have there's a pronounced cupping. And folks, when we refer to cupping, that might not be the technical term, but look at the wine, and you will see the wine stops. And then there is a clear rim above that circulating around the wine. That is the watery edge, the cupping that we're talking about. So there's almost a different layer between the wine and the glass. You'll see a translucent clear layer on the top. This has a bigger pronounced line than I've seen in a long time.
For those of you who dabble in cooking,
yes,
it's almost like where you have an Alfredo and you can't quite get it to blend together, mm-hmm, and you get the oil or the butter or the grease per se that kind of separates out on the top of your pan.
Yeah.
Well, at the edge of the pan, it's gonna kind of cup around the edge of the pan. It's gonna just naturally gravitate to the edge of the pan.
And that's what we're looking
at. That's kind of what it's like.
That's what we're looking at here. But this is far more pronounced than we've seen before.
This is as watery of an edge as I remember us reviewing a wine.
Yeah. But, yeah, normally you just see there's a little bit of cupping because you just see a touch. This, there's actually
have to say it's almost measurable.
But there is.
16th of an inch, I would say.
Yes.
At least a 32nd.
It's almost impressive, and it's like it has a wax ring around it. Wow.
But, you know, hey, we can, you know.
That doesn't necessarily denote that it's going to be bad. It just doesn't help it very much.
There's plenty of beautiful people in the world that have a wart or two.
Oh, no. Okay, the herbaceousness on the nose.
Don't say green pepper. No. No, you're just... You're projecting.
First of all, follow me through.
Let's just go to it. Let's just go straight to it.
The funk...
Earlier this evening, the wine guy was shopping retail.
I'll talk about that later.
But green pepper comes into play.
Well, that one, yeah, that is
green and
pepper. This isn't a bad green pepper, though. That's what it's attributable to. Because if you catch the acidity catches later, you have to piece some stuff together. But that's what that herbaceousness is. But that's a Chilean quotient. But everything else, though, is in play. It's well balanced in that fact on the nose. But then again, very few people.
One of the worst wines we've ever reviewed was a Chilean Pepperwood Grove Cab.
But it's $5. It's in this price range, though, isn't it?
And it was green pepper. That was the only.
Yes.
Characteristic that wine
the
had.
The worst wine we've ever had was 19 Crimes.
No,
but
I could drink 19 Crimes every day compared to that Purple.
Okay, the worst wine I've had is 19 Crimes.
I couldn't drink the Pepperwood
Grove. Second place is Pepperwood Grove.
I could not drink the Pepperwood
Grove. Third place is Chateau Sauvray. Fourth is 15 Below Me. And then it goes from there. But, yeah, they're all bad.
When you're that bad, does it really matter?
No, it doesn't, because you're trash. But this wine, I smelled it. Smell that green pepper.
No.
You can't.
I'm in denial. I'm denying your denial. There. I'm going in.
I'm going
in. Because I don't want to talk about green pepper. It's not the listener's fault that that lady you tried to steal your wine from you was buying Pepperwood Grove.
Mm. On the mouth, folks. In the background, yes, that green pepper is there. But it is not, by any stretch of the imagination, the main part of this wine. It is in, it's way back in the background with the raspberry, like they said, and the different berry fruits there. It kind of minimalizes that. One thing I will say about this wine, it's not your California cab, it's not your French cab, in the fact it's not tannic.
At all.
At all.
And it's not this big fruit forward thing either.
No.
You know, I'll be honest with you right away. I see why they picked this wine.
Who?
Lafite. I see why they picked this vineyard.
Yeah.
It's earthy.
It is somewhat earthy.
And I don't want to say old world, but it's stylistically, it's much more old world than new world.
You know what it tastes like? It tastes like a Zin.
And I got that reference earlier, and that's one of the things I thought, but then I went past it because it's so earthy.
It tastes like a Zin. It tastes like a version of a Zin. As a wine, it's not objectionable. It's a little bit short. It's a little bit lean. It's not the biggest thing in the world. However, it has a sweeter fruit front palate that lingers, that kind of makes everything work out all right. So in reality, as a drink, it's not particularly bad at all. That, because, you know, you might have some of these things that are insipid and acidic and just terrible. It's not those things.
No.
It does have a nice bit of raspberry fruit. Raspberry fruit, however, is not what we normally attribute to Cabernet. It's not what from Cabernet. So it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't taste particularly like a Cabernet, in my opinion. It doesn't at all.
That raspberry is so distinct, too.
Yeah, and that's not something that we typically have with Cabernet.
And it's almost, it's not even a Zin raspberry. It's a big, huge raspberry.
It's almost like a, well, no, it isn't just like a blend, because there's not, it's a one-trick pony to a certain extent. That one trick isn't bad.
I wouldn't call this a one-trick pony. It's just the fruit is the one-trick pony. The fruit.
Yeah.
But the fruit palate's a one-trick pony.
But there's not, I mean, there's a little
it's
bit
It's not of unappealing.
No, it's not unappealing at all. James Suckling, by the way, who used to be a reviewer for The Spectator, gave us a 92.
So this is straight from the wine.com page.
He needs to exhale more, I think.
Something. Well, yeah. An attractive and delicate Cab Sauvignon with very fine tannins and bright fruit.
Doesn't have tannins at all.
Is that what he means by very fine? That it's very, it's fine as in fine versus coarse? Medium body. Okay.
Medium-ish,
okay.
Sure.
Black currant, don't see
no.
that. Walnut and wet earth. Delicious Chilean Cabernet. Fantastic value. One of the best ever from here. Drink now.
One of the best ever?
Is that what that
the
earthiness that I talked about?
That's green pepper.
But no.
It is.
It's not all green pepper.
It is.
It's not all green pepper.
Mostly. When you smell like this, the alcohol plus the vegetal notes is green pepper. That's what that is. Now, it's not a green pepper wine. But it's not this unholy rich Cabernet either. By the way, I rather like your decanter. It's very cool.
So
like
brought a second decanter for us, and
yes.
Yeah, it's almost like you ever see the swashbuckler pirate movies? They had a certain shape for the bottle of wines.
Yeah,
it's almost that
really,
shape.
It pours nicely. I like that. Mine, a traditional decanter shape, it looks like a big old bell. But this pours a lot easier.
But there's a problem with this one. It drips.
Well, that's true.
It's a bit drippy. I don't get the black currant or the walnut. Or the wet earth. Maybe that's an earthy thing there. I don't know what wet earth is. Musty? Is that the aroma he's describing?
Could be the mouthfeel. Once again, now I kind of understand what he's referring to with the tannin.
Well, there's some...
But it's more astringent than tannic.
There's some tannins there. They're just... You mock me for saying underdeveloped tannins. They're just not strong. They're not laced. It's not laced with tannins.
They're not paired with traditional varietal flavors.
And not only that, but they kind of... They're there and then they're gone.
They're there in the top of the palate. They don't really come down on the tongue and really do much. The wine doesn't taste lean per se, but it never really explodes in your mouth to any degree. It just kind of sits there and goes, meh, I'm here. At $9, mind you, though, you can do much, much worse.
Yeah.
Good God. So there's that, too. We don't take that in consideration in the ultimate score, but you have to consider that. My problem is, it doesn't come across as very cabby.
And the more I drink this, the less I think it comes across as zinny, either. It's almost like...
It's the raspberry. That's the only thing that's attributable in that regard. The rest of it is kind of a hodgepodge of something else.
Yeah. But no, perfectly.
But I'm not quite sure what that would be attributable to. It's not as bright and as rich as a Malbec, so it's not that. It doesn't taste like a Merlot. It doesn't taste like a Syrah. It doesn't taste like Cabernet. It just kind of... The only thing that I would say that it tastes nearest to would be a Zinfandel, but it doesn't only taste like that because of the berry qualities to it, not because of a spice or anything else.
Where the green pepper reveals itself to me is right at the end of the finish.
Yeah.
There's that spot where the finish ends, and then it goes, here I am.
Mm-hmm. It's there. It lets you know it's there, but it's not.
And that's a flaw.
There's a lot of flaws, but I mean, it's like saying
that's the most objectionable.
Woman with one eye is not attractive because her face is a little bit out of proportion. She doesn't have a fucking eye. She's a cyclops, for Christ's sake. you know. Well, folks, with Scott just trying to digest what I just said,
we're going to take a break. You didn't just say that.
I did. We're going to come back with a potpourri segment. We're
right back in the wine vault.
We're back tonight. Back to the chain restaurants. My wife says the way I sound, I'm very welcoming and friendly when I speak. I'm completely the opposite.
Yeah, you lost that now.
As if I could only be so friendly for so long.
The listener's like, what a fucking prick.
I know.
Jesus.
He sounds very friendly on the air.
Now we're going to be snotty and make fun of chain restaurants.
Oh, Jesus. Folks.
So in a previous episode, we talked about the top 20 chain restaurants.
Yes.
From the Business Insider.
And this is another, and the first one we're going to start with is on that top 20. It is, what number is it, Scott? It's on there.
No.
Red. Starts with an R.
Red? I think this says Fridays?
No, it says Red Robin, Trigger.
Oh, Red Robin.
See right there? Way to break the suspense.
Yeah, I got the wrong handout.
You dumbass.
Okay, so it's the second page.
No, you got the wrong handout.
Yet I'm the dumbass somehow. I got the wrong handout. We're very organized here.
Pass that shit out.
Charlie!
Where's Damn it, Charlie.
Charlie!
Oh, shit, there's the first page. Well, this is my pick. Charlie, you worthless prick. Anyway, Fridays is the first one, folks. Yeah, there we go.
And they are not on the list.
They're not.
We want them to
be. How the hell did they not get on the list?
Well,
they must suck.
We want them to be in the top 20.
Well, folks, look.
You know, maybe if we profile their wine list on the Wine Vault, they'll get in the top 20 of Business Insider.
Profile this dog shit. Anyway, I'm looking at this, folks.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of some other dog shit we've had before. But, oh, Jesus, there's really some big offenders. They're white, and I assume this is their. You can buy it in the 6 ounce, 9 ounce, which is the best value.
That's the best value.
Or bottle. The white, La Crema, their Chardonnay. Well, that's fine. KJ, Kendall Jackson, their Vintners Reserve Chardonnay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Barefoot, that's not fine. Behringer White Zinfandel.
They're on the list.
Echo de Mani.
They're on the list.
Who the hell did they?
What's they? Yeah, say it. Just say it. Who did they?
Yeah. Who did they fillet? And then Seven Daughters Moscato, whatever. And then Kimmy Crawford, as my wife would love.
And
but know, then the Reds.
We're bringing them down. They keep showing up on these bad lists, though.
Reds. J. Lore. Their base, their Seven Oaks. Ugh. Dark Horse. Ugh.
He poo poos it. Dark Horse really isn't that bad.
Oh, shut up.
It's not that
bad. Oh, yeah. It has a horse on the label.
But we've benefited that horses is an animal that doesn't fit the profile.
Little Black Dress Merlot.
That
doesn't sound good. I don't know what it is, but Alamos Malbec. Ugh. Apothic Red, oh God.
And the epitome.
Mark West.
Mark West Pinot Noir.
That's like the trifecta. But it's more than a trifecta.
Wait. It gets better. Premium bottle selection. Just go to the second choice. Did you read this yet?
I did. Well, the first one's bad enough. The first one, folks, this is their premium bottle selection. This
the
is
like premium bottle.
Reserve list. The first one is Santa Margarita Pinot Grigio. We know how much I love
that.
The second one, folks.
But in our four worst wines earlier tonight, Rob mentioned, and this bottle is in our four worst wines.
It's Below Me Pinot Noir. Below Me Pinot Noir is in their premium bottle. And then their best Cabernet is Rodney Strong, which retails at $18 a bottle. That's your premium?
So I'm in a retail establishment, and they had moved some stuff around, and there was a shelf that had a bunch of clearance stuff in it, and it had the price point PO full retail price of
Below Me
Pinot Noir 2015 at $25 a bottle. Yet what was actually on the shelf was all their clearance stuff.
I don't think that's a good value.
But so I texted the wine guy and showed him a picture of that, and he's like, "Where the hell are you?"
Also, below this, all this wine, before placing your order, please inform your server if you have a person in your party that has a food allergy. I have an allergy to Below Me.
My Lord.
They're great. Well, folks, let's just skip on to Fridays. They're not doing well.
I can't believe I pointed out that I didn't have the Red Robin page and I had Fridays as the first page. That was a complete waste of time.
Charlie's a worthless.
Oh, my God.
The next one is Red Robin, folks. And one thing I'll say about Red Robin, they have the calorie count on every damn thing that they serve, and all their shit is for people that want to be obese. So you can go in there and it says 1,200 calories for everything you order, and then you just don't want to order anything and you hate yourself. I don't like that.
I want to
lie to me. And their wine list is absolutely the armpit of the world.
Well,
this is the most hideous thing I've ever seen. The first one is Cupcake Merlot. That's disgusting. Blueberries and red cherry with a touch of cocoa. $6.79 you pay for that. The next one is a Chardonnay, the Naked Grape Chardonnay. That's a 6 ounce pour.
Folks, when...
Only $4.50. What does that
when
cost?
You brand yourself with a registered trademark and you print it actually on the label...
The Naked Grape.
Cupcake don't buy that wine.
They have a lot of trademarks on here. The next one is Echo de Mani Pinot Grigio. We know how much I love that. That costs only $6.99 of your money. The next one is Carnivore Cabernet Sauvignon. Carnivore, once again, trademark. A big, bold, velvety with dark red. Fucking carrots.
Don't even read that.
That is the premium. $8.79 for that.
The Naked Grape Harvest Red Blend.
Not one. They have two of those. And this one also is trademarked. 6 ounce pour for $4.50. There you go. The next one is by far the best wine on this entire list by 1,000%. And that's, unfortunately, Kendall Jackson's, who's trademarked, as if someone's going to...
Vintner Reserve Chardonnay.
Yeah, for $9. And then, folks, the superstar Steve Gibson wine of the night, Flip Flop Fizzy Pink Moscato, for $9? Yeah. Does that include like a bribe to the union to serve it to you?
Oh my god.
Well, Red Robin, you suck. Oh, sorry, I just dropped my list. I'm going to pick that up again. Now, folks, we're going to move on to a premium steakhouse where they use real cow.
Might have blood vessels in the meat. So in my copy,
that's the best part.
The wine guys like put little notes at the top of the page. Instead of saying Longhorn, it says Longhorny.
It does. Well, you know, Longhorn Steakhouse, folks. Let me point to, just a little aside, and we've been doing a lot of asides, but folks, Longhorn is not cheap. If you go to Longhorn, say once every 2 months. Go to a good steakhouse once every 4 months and don't go to the Longhorn. It's not cheap. I mean, it's like $20 for a fucking steak there, man. If you go to a good steakhouse once every 4 months, suppose once every 2 months, or you could buy it and then take it home and cook it yourself. I don't understand this place. But their wine selection...
Here's what's funny. At the top of each class, it says dining only. So you can't... What do you mean I can't get in a paper cup to take with me?
Dumb smack.
I can't. I brought my red Dixie cup. Oh, can I get a pour?
I'm looking at this. This is just atrocious. In their Cabernet Sauvignon, the dine-in only, as the it's a well-bodied wine with rich fruit tones. Sounds like our reviews. For
Joel Gott.
Jesus, that's expensive. $10, 29 cents?
That's four times. We said it at 15. So that's.
Question.
That's
why would you price something at $10.29? Why not $9.99 or $10.25? Anyway.
Because $10.29, it sounds more elitist.
No, it sounds stupid. But that's their premium. Joel Gott's wine that you can buy for that a bottle. The next one that they have is very exceptional. Well, they're all exceptional at the Longhorn Steakhouse. It's Robert Mondavi's private selection. Oh, it's like God. He has a private porn selection. Oh, this is that same thing.
Jesus.
It's the stuff he doesn't want anybody to know about. And then the next one is not the private selection. It's something that's beneath it. And that's Robert Mondavi's Woodbridge.
It's beneath it all.
Oh, my God. Woodbridge. You can buy that.
This is just the hit list keeps going on. Apothic
Red.
Oh,
God. Apothic
Red. Rob's favorite.
Jesus. Apothic.
La Crema Pinot Noir. Have we been there before?
Trinity Oaks. No. Question is there no creativity in wines list selection? I mean, Apothic Red. Yeah. La Crema. It's like a checklist.
Now, I'll be honest. So you go to the Malbecs?
Red Rock.
And there's a Red Rock Malbec. And we've had the Red Rock. We've had their Vintner's Blend.
Yeah, we didn't particularly care for it.
No, we liked it. It was good.
No, the second time we didn't care for it. We've reviewed it
twice.
Yeah,
you're right.
And when we were sober, we didn't particularly care for it.
No, and we thought maybe there's some bottle variation.
I thought it was shit.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sure the Malbec is excellent, though. This is their... Oh, it's from Argentina, too. So they went from California all the way down to Argentina with their stupid catchphrases. And then, luckily, we get into the Rosa Dolce, which is, once again, dine-in only. And they
new,
have...
And new.
And I would tell you what they have, but I don't care.
Wait, Roscata?
Sweet.
What's Roscato? Is that like a red... What is that? What is Roscato? Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Something you shouldn't drink.
Well, I thought they were botching Moscato.
Well, they are. They put red in it. And the whites, they have Canyon Road, which is god-awful. They have Kendall Jackson.
The VR, the
Vintage Reserve. Which everybody has. Then they have 13 Celsius, which, who knows. Behringer White Zin is available for your consumption. I hope you have a tetanus shot.
But you know what? I'm honestly, the Turning Leaf Merlot.
Well, Turning Leaf Merlot.
Where I would that? Back page. Chateau Saint Michel Riesling. Okay.
Pretty yeah, that. And we, that's we don't. Fine.
Yeah.
Echo the Mine.
Oh, again, Rob's favorite. Now here's the Moscato Mirasu. There's Mirasus I would try.
Where's Jacobs Creek Reserve Moscato?
In Australia.
This
isn't the Outback, Rob.
So?
This is the Longhorn. We're gonna have American wines. No, I'm
pretty sure Echo de Monte is not American.
No, I'm pretty sure that it is. They just want it to sound like it's Italian.
They bottle it out of the
Jesus criminy.
Well, that was exciting. That was
terrible. No, that wasn't exciting. But what do you expect?
I expect not something that makes me vomit. Speaking of vomit, then we're on to the Olive Garden.
Speaking of food being packaged in plastic bags and poured out on your plate.
These wines actually come in pouches, folks. No, they don't. But, oh, Jesus. Well, okay.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about whatever Porta Vita.
No.
Those are just the house wines.
That's like that basket stuff that sits on the
shelf. But you know what? Here's the thing that I appreciate about the Olive Garden.
You appreciate the Olive
Garden? Here's what I appreciate. They've got a house wine. And it's probably shit.
It's more expensive than the other stuff.
No, it's not. It's $5 a glass.
Look at the bottle price.
That's because they don't have bottles. Why is that? That's bizarre.
Yeah, folks, it's more expensive than... we're going through this. So, the Vigna Porta bottle price is $36, okay? For Chateau Saint Michel Riesling, it's $29 a bottle. For Cabot Pinot Grigio, which is terrible, but it's $25 a bottle. For Crise Pinot Grigio, which is better than the Cabot, it's $31 a bottle. Columbia Crest H3 Merlot, it's $32 a bottle.
Yeah, but what? So why is their house, the bottle, more expensive? Regardless, they've got a house. You can get a pour of a glass of wine for $5. It's going to be ass awful. But you don't know. I mean...
Yeah,
maybe it's no worse than anything else.
When I'm looking at this, folks, I would go through the wines, but who gives a shit? The thing that actually speaks to me a little bit, they have Coppola's Diamond Collection Cabernet. They have...
I've had the Stracali. It's passable. Well,
everybody's had Stracali.
It's passable.
They have Columbia Crest Grand Estates, which didn't like, but as on a menu, yeah, it's okay. And they have an Amarone for $95 a bottle. Anybody that's spending $95 a bottle for wine at Olive Garden, you need your head examined. But still. So those are a few things.
It's terrible.
It is.
It's a terrible, terrible, terrible wine list.
It is. But moving on then.
I was hopeful. I mean, honestly, one of their best selections is... the Chateau Saint Michel Chard.
Yeah, it is.
Which is the same thing everybody else. Actually, everybody else has a Sauve Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Nevertheless, folks, that's our
I think it's interesting that the two main restaurants are both restaurants that would be probably more difficult to pair wines with, yet they still have the best wine list.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Well, at least they have beef there, so all the reds are going to do well. I would be more red-centric than that. But
bison place.
Yeah. But, folks, with that, we are going to take a break and come back with a review of the Los Vascos. Be right back on the Wine Vault. Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at Wine Vault Podcast, and our website is winevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. We're reviewing the 2015, and which, by the way, that's a very young wine, Los Vascos from Chile. It is a winery that is owned by Lafitte Rothschild. The biggest there is.
Yeah, right.
And so we're going to get a review now from the unlicensed taxi driver. How does he feel about Lafitte Rothschild's work? Basically, this is a Bordeaux.
No. It's not, though. We can't. You can't call it that.
They'll tell you that. I know, and you know, it's not. It doesn't taste like cab, but that's okay.
And James Suckling giving this a 92. Shame on you. Rob earlier intimated that you might have worked for another establishment and you might have been fired.
Well, I didn't say he was fired.
He actually didn't
work there anymore. He went out on his own because there's more money that way.
Well, yeah. This is...
He's not a mercenary.
Off air, the wine guy said, it's not bad. And then I repeatedly said, well, it's not good. And he said, but it's not bad. And I said, but it's not good. This is just nondescript. It just...
I like it a little more than that. It's the best Chilean wine I've had today, folks. It's actually the best Chilean wine we've had on the wine vault. I think we've had two, and the other one was Pepperwood Grove. So, it's not hard to ascend to the first position.
It's not offensive.
No.
But there's something about this for me that's just not well put together. I'm going to loosely recommend it with this thing in my voice. Because again, as Rob's pointed out, it's $9.
It's cheap.
It's actually
a decent drink.
It is a decent drink. It's not offensive in any way, but there's something about it that just sings like it's just not quite right.
It does not have good varietal character.
For those of you that have kids, and Ace, we're gonna call him Ace, comes home from school, and Cindy Lou comes in the door after that, and Ace says, "Oh, Dad, Cindy Lou, she did something." Then she walks in there, she says, "Shut up, Ace!" And then you get the story from one, you get the story from the other, and your brows just furrow, just like Rob, the wine guys, are now. This wine makes your eyebrows furrow. They're just like, eh. You're squinching and causing a wrinkle, and it's just not... I'm going to give this an 86.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you have these analogies that you put out?
They're banal. Are you going to vomit on me?
Do you actually, like, talk them out in your mind? Or
yeah. No, I just rolled that off my tongue.
That was the worst analogy. It didn't have any point whatsoever.
No. Sometimes if you've got children, they start telling you some bullshit and you fucking wrinkle your face.
But it's actually fascinating in its stupidity.
Oh, it's brilliant.
No, it wasn't brilliant. It's the opposite. But... it was so stupid and pointless
that
it almost had an elegance to it. Because
of course it's elegant.
It's almost
as
if you did that intentionally. But then again, if you did, I would think that you'd been shot in the head before and actually had residual effects from that bullet wound.
Well, I did. I am actually... Kate,
you retarded?
Mr. Capshaw from the Blacklist. I have a metal plate in my head and that's why I live when... Red shot me in the head.
Oh, well, okay. For any of the all 14 people that watch that show.
No, everybody watches Blacklist, just not you. Everybody loves it.
No. You gave it 86.
86, I just...
That's a very generous score.
Oh, really?
It is. I didn't think you'd give it that, because you don't like it.
Well, it's... But I want to like it, because it's not...
That's supposed to mean.
You
want to like it.
I want to like it. It's just... And it's not objectionable. It is drinkable. But I drink it and it just puzzles me. It just causes me pause. It causes me to wrinkle.
It's
not complicated.
Okay.
It causes me to furrow my brow. I don't like that. There's not a particular good mouthfeel. It's of the varietal, but it isn't really. I mean, you know it's Cab Sauv. You know, you thought it was Zin, but... I don't know.
I knew it was Cab Sauv.
I don't know. It just...
Well, folks...
There's nothing about me that makes me want to drink it or buy another bottle, leaving at $9. I'll be honest.
Well, folks, since Scott, it's pointless. It's on to me. Let me say this: I think that for $9, you can do a lot worse as a drinker. And I'm not talking about something that you're going to analyze. I'm talking about just drinking for pleasure or to get drunk.
Yeah, alcohol to get fucked up.
It's not bad in that regard. Scott has said it doesn't have a particularly good mouthfeel. It actually has a reasonably good mouthfeel for $9. It has a reasonable, nice fruitiness for $9. The problem I have with it is it doesn't exhibit good varietal character. And normally Cabernet is not one that's hard to nail. I mean, Pinot, that can be difficult. Merlot can be difficult because those are fickle grapes. Cabernet typically isn't that hard. This doesn't taste like a Cabernet much at all. It tastes like a Zinfandel. Not a great Zinfandel. Maybe. But you have to find something that tastes like it. It doesn't taste anything like a fucking Cabernet. It just doesn't. The fruit is too cloying to really be attributable to a Cabernet. It doesn't have much of a tannic backbone or a chewiness at all to be considered a Cabernet. It's raspberry and strawberry, which aren't fruits that you'd associate with a Cabernet. It doesn't. They didn't employ any type of oaking to give it any kind of framing. They just.
But there's nothing there to frame. Even if you had the oaky, it'd just all be oaky.
You could overpower it with oak, probably. It's a wine that you kind of scratch your head with and say, well, what were they really trying to accomplish here, other than just making something that was pleasing to drink? It says here it's 100% Cabernet.
As Rob's saying all these things, he's furrowing his brow.
I know, because it's a quandary.
Because that's what it does to you.
Let me say this. I think I like it more than you do.
I think so. I'm not sure, though, the way you're talking about
it. And it gets an 84. And let me tell you why. because, first of all, you're stupid. I like him.
I think I like it more than you do, but I'm going to give it an 84.
Yeah, because I'm not sure why you gave it an 86, because you don't like it. Let me explain to you why it gets an 84. Scott, let me explain to you why it gets an 84 and okay. not an 86.
Okay, I'm listening.
It doesn't taste like a fucking Cabernet. At all.
It does have a medium body.
Okay, it's red and it has a medium body. Okay, it has the color right and it's medium body, even though Cabernet should be, what's the word? Yes. Full body. Now, $9, yeah. You're not expecting that, but I'm also not expecting to have a flavor profile of a fucking Zinfandel. Now, I happen to like Zinfandel, so that flavor profile doesn't necessarily displease me, but it's not supposed to taste this way.
But not only that, it's... Even if this was Zinfandel, I don't think we'd like it either.
Well, I like it better than Kenwood Zinfandel. Let me tell you why. It doesn't have any cloying characteristics. No. It doesn't have anything that's objectionable. It just doesn't have anything that's exceptional. But it's something that you can sit here and drink. If I'm going to say, well, I have $9 to spend, what am I going to buy? Well, I could buy this Hacienda Merlot, or I could buy this Behringer's Founders bullshit, or I could buy BV Coastal Cab, or I could go through endless lists. You know what you should be buying? This. Because at $9, it has pleasing fruit characteristics, even though they're not necessarily, attributable to Cabernet. It's not particularly tannic, so you'll like that. And you can act like you're drinking Cabernet when you really supposedly are, but maybe not. I assume this isn't a cold weather zone, so it didn't actually ripen all the way, perhaps. It's just a little too cold. It could be a bad vintage, too. But, as Scott said, he said he'll recommend it. I'll recommend it with a caveat.
Kind of. Just for the price point.
For the price point.
That's it. That's the only reason.
It's a pleasant drinking wine.
It's, for me, I'll tell you the one word. Why I struggle with it. It's frustrating.
86 is too high.
Is it?
Well, you don't like it. That would be suggesting it's as good as the Josh Sellers. And it's not. Because Josh Sellers tastes like Cabernet. Not a particularly great Cabernet, but it is like fucking Cabernet. This isn't that Cabernet. Get your shit together.
I'm being chastised by Rob the Wine Guy.
I mean, it doesn't deserve 85 or above. It really doesn't. It hasn't earned that. It doesn't deserve a 70 because it has pleasant flavors that are...
Nothing just objectionable about it. There's nothing...
It has an appealing flavor structure.
Appealing is a strong word.
What's appealing?
It's okay.
For you, it's okay. For some people, it's going to be appealing. It's not bad.
That's it. It's not bad, but it's not good either.
But you have to treat that in a positive sense. For the average person, I mean, our listeners.
I know. I'll take the criticism, and I'll recognize that 86 is a high score.
They're looking for value price wines.
Yes.
That are appealing.
Yes.
That taste
and maybe that are tasty. And maybe in my 86, I allowed the price point to get into that, which we shouldn't do.
I think 84 and $9 is a good review for that.
Yeah.
I think that this has its place, and I think that some people out there that want a red wine tonight that don't want to drink their average thing. This is a good alternative to that. And this is a great alternative to your BV Coastals. Anything that's a Mondavi, any of that cheap stuff.
Yeah.
Your big line stuff that is just a regular slop. We've made a million case of stuff. This is a eons better alternative to that. It just doesn't taste like cab.
Right. Right.
You know, but nevertheless... It has its place. I do appreciate what it is, and I think they did as much as they could with what they got.
I got suckered in.
It's good.
By a bad 90 high review.
No, but
it's not bad. I am going to stick to my point that it's
for $8.99. I will say it's good
for the price point.
Yeah,
I got drawn in, and.
But if you're not a person that says a Cabernet must taste like it does under the Olympic scale, if you're not that person,
this is
fine. We get hung up on that because it doesn't actually meet the criteria for a Cabernet, which that's our job.
Yeah.
And that's what we're responsible for, right. Even though you gave an 86.
Which was high. I took into consideration the price point. There's no two ways about it. It's
would you agree that 84 probably is?
It's probably the better score.
I'm going to give you an 84. It's got to give it an 84.
It's probably a better score. And probably I should give it an 83 because, as you pointed out, you like it better than I do.
83.
But it's frustrating for me because it's got a couple characters that are nice, and then there's just nothing to tie together, and it just...
But you act like
it's not
disjointed.
It's a little bit.
But there's no parts to disjoint. It's one part. There isn't that much to it. But really, how much can they make to it? They didn't oak this. I mean,
right.
If you oaked it, it would crush it and be terrible. They didn't do much to it, which they said, this is what our grapes are. Okay? So we're gonna produce it and manufacture it and send it out like this.
It's just a... Like you said, it's got that little raspberry,
yeah.
And then there just blows through the mid palate, and then it's got this, and I emphasize slightly, astringent finish that is gone immediately. So it's short,
but you're not upset. Let me say this though. They knew what they had, and they didn't manipulate it.
Yeah.
And it tastes, in a certain sense, pure. In that regard, it's you know, you're not having any linger aftertaste. Everything that's there is what has been put in the bottle from the vine.
I don't understand why Rothschild Lafitte would put their name on this.
Because they own it?
Yeah.
I don't think at $9 for a value price wine.
So what could they do with this? Should they have blended it? What should they have done with this?
I think they should do exactly what they did. What are you going to blend it with? I'm sure the Merlot is terrible. but no, seriously, this isn't a bad wine. And quite frankly, in a lot of settings, if I go in there and I see this for $22 or $25 on a wine menu, and I look at the rest of the stuff and I hate it, I'm going with this.
I'm drinking beer that night.
This isn't bad. I'm not pairing this with a steak, but this is the... I think we've glorified certain wines too much.
Yeah? And I'm under-glorifying this one.
No, I think that it deserves what it gets, but Josh Sellers tastes more like Cabernet, so he gets an 86, 87. More of an 86, 85. This one does not show that character, so it gets an 83 to 84.
I know that, and this is my take on this. Mm-hmm. This is my final comment on this. That Josh is one we've kind of used as a measuring stick.
Yeah.
When I go in the grocery and I see the Josh, I go, I would buy that again. And when I look at this, if I see it again, I wouldn't feel the same way. Even at $9, there was something inherently about the Josh that was a little more enjoyable about this. Even at $8 a bottle or $7 a bottle.
Fair enough. I'm not going out and buying this either.
Right.
But.
So maybe I shouldn't loosely recommend it. Maybe I say it's not recommended.
No, it's recommended.
Yeah.
Partly because it's a pleasing drink. And it's not for you. It's for everyone else out there that might not feel the same way that you do. And it's not looking for the same thing that you
are. Who's going to like this?
Your casual wine drinker.
Raging alcoholics who just want to get drunk?
They drink too. No, your very casual drinker that just wants a bottle of wine for the night. Isn't looking for anything interesting, but maybe something slightly off the beaten path. This is a good one to pick up. That's not necessarily a huge demographic, but
slightly less than approachable.
It's approachable. That's the one thing I will say. It's approachable. It has good. It has a decent sweet fruit characteristic. Yeah. It's pleasant enough. Is it grand? No.
No.
83, 84 is about right for it. You're not going to hate it if you drink it. You're not going to necessarily find it particularly interesting if you drink it. But then again, I think you're going to probably be talking about something else.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So.
With that.
Yes, with that, folks, I'd like to thank the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. Thank you. Thank you to our listeners.
I'd like to thank myself. And I'd like to thank the Triple B and the Superstar for not being here in prior episodes, because then we drank better wine.
Yeah, but those people weren't here to help us choke this shit down.
Yes, folks, there's always a balancing act in life, and I think we learned that tonight.
Yeah.
So, nevertheless, though, we will bid you adieu and wish and hope that you come again.
Well, and I'm going to put on an apology to the nice young lady who Rob ran into at the wine shop, and stick to your taste. Drink bad wine.
And to that lady, if I offended you, I am sorry.
What? It's a growth moment.
But don't try to touch my fucking wine. And what the fuck is wrong with you?
Okay, I was wrong. Alone. It's not a growth moment.
Leave people alone. They don't want to talk to you. Jesus. Nevertheless, I think she learned her lesson.
Wow, I guess you know more about wine than I do.
Bitch. Nevertheless. Yes, I do. My cat knows more than you do. Well, any one of seven cats that I have knows more than you do.
Nicaragua.
I poop things that are smarter than you.
Oh, now let's not get carried away.
I wasn't. Anyway, with that, folks, we're going to bid you adieu. And we're going to see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night, folks.